Today's show is being brought to you by Harry's. Please visit harrys.com and use the promo code CRITICALHIT to save $5 off your first purchase. Hello, everyone. It's Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com. Thank you so much for downloading and sharing this episode with a friend. And, you know, honestly, thank you for all those five-star reviews that you've been leaving over at iTunes. It really helps us out. It gets the message out and spreads the word about the fun that we're having here. And I hope that you're having fun. You know, I think some of you are really having fun because I put the request out there a few weeks ago for Critical Hit sketches, fan art that you guys have been doing, guys and gals, and I've received a ton of fantastic stuff, and I just want to say thank you for doing that. I love featuring it at the in the show notes over at majorspoilers.com, and if you've got some fan art you want to contribute, just send it my way, podcast@majorspoilers.com, and if it's really cool, we'll share it with everyone else. You know what else is really good? Razor blades from Harry's. You don't want to go to some big box store and haggle around with the shop clerk to come over and unlock the cabinet so you can get your blades out. No, you want to use Harry's blades. They're fantastic. Harry's was started by two guys who know what it means to get a good close shave and not have to spend an arm and a leg to do it. Harry's makes its own blades, and I have to tell you, I've been using Harry's blades since they started advertising with us. My face has never felt better, and my wife doesn't complain about the whiskers poking her face. My wallet also feels better, too, because Harry's razors are about half the price of other big-branded blades, and they ship for free to your front door. Here's the deal I got for you. If you're starting out with Harry's, you can get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and three razor blades for only $15. And if you want it even cheaper, then I've got a deal for you. Go to harrys.com. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. Enter the coupon code CRITICALHIT, and you're going to get $5 off that entry-level kit. It means you're going to get moisturizing shave cream and three razor blades for only $10 when you use that coupon code CRITICALHIT and get $5 off. Thank you, Harry's, for sponsoring this episode of Critical Hit. Thank you, listeners, for checking out harrys.com. Start shaving better today. Before we get out of here today, I just want to say thank you to our Major Spoilers VIPs. Without your financial contribution, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we're doing right now at MajorSpoilers.com and being able to put out all the podcasts that we do on a regular basis, including this episode that you're about to listen to right now. I would really appreciate it, listeners. You, if you're not a VIP, I'm asking you to head to members.majorspoilers.com today, members.majorspoilers.com, and think about becoming a Major Spoilers VIP. Look over what we're trying to do. Look at the benefits and the perks that you get by becoming a VIP at different levels. Help push us into the new year with over 1,000 VIPs. And awesome, magical things are going to happen. Can't wait. Thank you for being awesome. And thank you, Harry's, for sponsoring this episode of Critical Hit. Now let's get to the action.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members. Thank you for your support of Major Spoilers and the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and listening and sharing this episode with a friend. Things keep getting stranger and stranger, Rodrigo.
Yeah.
So why don't you take us somewhere even stranger?
Oh, okay.
Stranger, Rodrigo.
So last time
on Critical Hit.
Yeah, that was all right. What did happen last time on Critical Hit?
Terrible things.
Or wonderful things.
Orym seems to be some kind of caveman.
Right. Yes.
Uka chaka, Orym want food. We made our way to the lovely city of Bawaro.
Which is occupied by the Troglodytes, and I think we have to plot a elaborate heist to get into their most prized possession.
I think it's
Sky Talkers.
Troglodon, I believe, was a villain who fought Godzilla.
Oh, well, my mistake.
You're good.
Yes.
Well, that's
on Critical Hit.
That seems pretty straightforward. So, I believe you guys had found your way to an inn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And probably got some rest. They, yeah, you guys wake up the next morning, and there you are at an inn. It's pretty nice. It's like a suite. So each one of you gets a room. And there's actually a couple spare rooms, as well as a central kind of living room area.
Orym is out there studying his books for the day.
Why don't you go ahead and describe Orym?
Orym is of broad shoulders, muscles upon muscles. Mm-hmm. He is not the the thin waif that people had seen before. I think people would have a tough time moving him. The robes are a little bit more snug than they used to be. Uh-huh. But other than that, you can still kind of tell it's Orym, but he's been working out.
Right.
He's not a tumor.
All right. Well, let's go around the table since we're here. Why don't you describe your character, Rob?
Ket is slender, half-elf, dark hair, brown hair, goatee. Our guy's wearing a black leather suit, has card suits in black, kind of. I don't know the right word for that.
Embroidered?
Is it stitched into it or embroidered into it? Or
I don't know.
Stitch-broidered?
Embroidered into it. Kind of black on black.
Bedazzled?
Sort of thing. And has a...
Definitely bedazzled.
Just what looks like a large stick with him.
Does he speak softly?
You know he does. He's played by Rob. Anything else?
Not currently noticeable.
Okay. Brian?
All right. Randus is a human-looking type guy. Has a big, giant robot arm. Unkempt hair. A little shorter than your average human person. Wears goggles and a jacket and bandolier filled with all sorts of various pockets, filled with various many knickknacks and gadgets and gizmos and tools and various accoutrements. Has a big heavy backpack that often has a little crab-like robot creature peeking out of it and scurrying around. Carries a big crossbow often.
Actually, I meant to ask you a couple of things. First off, did you pick up a haversack? A handy haversack?
Don't believe I did.
Okay. In that case, if you have it, and I believe you do, you may also want to describe the enormous scythe that this guy carries around.
Oh, yes.
Because that seems like something people would notice.
That is true. Also got a scythe adorned with eagle feathers and metallic wings and jets.
Okay. The other thing is, you might want to start looking through your formulas.
Mm-hmm.
And take some time to make some stuff. But we can talk about that a little later. Matthew, why don't you go ahead and describe your character?
Sikar is likewise a human-looking guy. A little bit taller than Randus, 6'5", muscular, but not muscle-bound as Orym is. Dark wavy hair, has sideburns down to his jawline. Pretty much never seen without a matched pair of swords, one short and one scimitar-y on his hips with a kind of a hanging, belty hanging thing. I'm sure there's a word for it. It's probably called a scabbard.
I don't know.
But nonetheless.
Yeah, belty sword pocket.
Yeah. If you pay close attention, he's wearing a lot of rings and wristbands and things and tends to stand rather than sit because people nervous. No, wait. That's not the reason why. That's secretly the reason why he would never admit that. That's all out of character. Okay, I heard you writing that down, Faithful Spoilerites and Critters. Don't write that anyway. Nonetheless, that's what he looks like. And he does that thing.
Okay. And Sam.
You know that thing.
Little Sparkle does not look human-like, as she is a bird person. She is short and light of weight, about 5'2", has black and green feathers. Green feathers kind of look more like hair going out further back in a sort slightly spiky. She murmur that is clearly magical as it kind of flickers into shadows at the edges. She also wears a hood with some elaborate beadwork on it. Her necklace is entirely made out of keys. She has in her belt a bracers along her wrists, and she has black boots as well. Hands are also bird-like, kind of sharpened into talons where the nails would be.
Okay.
She sounds a little terrifying.
She'll stab you.
Okay. So, there you guys are at the end.
Good morning, Orm.
Good morning. Oh, good morning, Randus. Oh, hey, check that out. I think something was caught in my throat. Still getting used to this body, sorry.
Fair enough. Did find anything out? Just been...
No, I've been studying my spells, since the early morning, so...
Speaking of which...
Yes, all ice-powered.
Okay.
Still... What about you? Did you sleep well?
I slept pretty good.
Excellent.
Got any ideas? Think we need to...
Well, if we're going to get into the tower, and we need to pass off as one of the ruling group, I think that hat is going to come in very handy for someone.
Uh-huh. Could certainly help.
So, I think we should try to gather as much information about who comes and goes from the tower and what is inside the tower as possible, since we're going to want to get all of us in there, presumably, because if there's a way to open a portal, we're all going to need to be in there.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And I think we need to see if there are any maps that may exist of the tower.
Absolutely. I'd recommend kind of casing the joint for at least a while, observing who has access, so we can probably pick out someone specific to disguise as. If there's any of the just the ruling class or any of the cultural members of their group can get in, then we can maybe try to pass some of the rest of our number off as those, and see if there's anyone we can maybe bribe or blackmail or intimidate into opening a door for us.
We did learn that we could buy our way into the Trogonauts cast, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's a way for non-biological Trogonauts to get in.
To join their honorarily.
Yeah. Coming.
You can earn your way into the Trogonauts,
okay.
But not buy.
Not buy.
How does one earn your way into becoming a Trogonaut?
That sounds like a great question.
For a Trogonaut.
One we might have to ask. Another question worth ruminating on. When utilizing your magic hat,
mm-hmm.
does it physically transform you, or does it simply disguise your nature?
Disguises you.
So a magic detector would see right past your disguise.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Then again, a magic detector would go nuts if any of you guys walked by it.
True. More accurately, more importantly, it doesn't alter how we sound, how we feel if someone touches us.
Well, presumably, if it's an illusion, they'd have some kind of check that they could make when they interacted with it to determine whether or not they buy it.
Probably.
The question then becomes, though.
Yeah, I mean, the hat of disguise is, like, generally speaking, a pretty good disguise. Like any pretty good disguise, once somebody starts interacting with it, it's obvious. Like, you know, it's not like a light illusion where somebody, like, if somebody reaches over and, like, they're not going to go through you, they'll still touch something. But again, that contact basically makes it more likely you've introduced more time and effort that they've put into figuring you out. So it's not perfect. But it's also, generally speaking, pretty good for walking down the street, walking past someone, etc., assuming you've picked the right disguise and you don't immediately jump out as saying, hey, what do you have a green armband instead of a yellow armband? Right? So that's where the research would come in. So everybody back in character.
Pay attention to armbands. Write that down.
So yeah, I'd say we need a lot more information before we're ready for this. We should observe who comes and goes, how they dress, how they act, if there are passwords, if there are security checks, things like that. Then try to figure a little bit more out about if we can become cultural Trogonauts, maybe by doing some kind of favor for them or paying some fee or who knows, a test of strength, because that would probably help us a lot to get in there, and then maybe do some deeper digging if there's any type of architectural records or even a repair shop. I mean, this place has been demolished many a time. I wouldn't be surprised if the tower got hurt at least once. And so someone has to know how to, you know, layout is and what the load bearing pillars are.
Well, that certainly sounds like a plan.
Yeah. It's something to go on, at least.
Ket, what are your thoughts?
I think she's pretty well covered it. We probably should have a couple of... I don't know that we necessarily need to send all of us in, because all we're trying to do is find out where the stars are going to influence next so we can collect the energy for Lex Gizmo. So we may actually be better off sending a couple of us in and getting that information and going to wherever it is we need to go as the group.
Yeah, that's a possibility. We should probably find out if the tower itself is a source of planar energy or if we're going to have to go somewhere else. Also, I bet we could probably, considering we're in the city with the tower, I'd be curious if it's kind of common knowledge as to which planes are ascendant right now or expected to become ascendant. Because if we're going to start getting swords rained on us, I'd love to know.
Well, that's a good call.
All right. Well, I'll volunteer to case the tower itself.
Sounds like a good plan.
I'll go with you. Just in case there's trouble.
Because I could head back to the library, see what I can find out about cycles and planes, and see if something's going to become ascendant or descendant recently that we need to be aware of.
Great. And then if you also want to handle that, maybe we could also get some more intel on the cultural Trogonaut situation.
Mm-hmm. I believe that sounds like a job for Hazard and myself.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like we've got a good plan.
I was looking for my spell book, which did not get printed out, to see if I could just cast a spell on all of us so we could be in communication with one another during this time.
Oh, your rituals should be exactly the same as on your other sheet.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're not printed.
It didn't
out.
Get printed on that sheet either. Okay, that's probably because it lives in a separate.
Yes,
because the online character builder is terrible.
Let's see.
Oh, far sending.
Loading up. Eagle's Flight, Trailblaze, Telepathic Bond.
I think that's the one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for the duration of the ritual, you and up to 8 allies can communicate telepathically. You do not need to share a common language to communicate telepathically. Your arcana check result determines the duration of the ritual. And it goes from 10 minutes to 8 hours.
Okay. And what's the cost of that?
The cost is 1,100 gold.
Hmm. What's the range?
It doesn't list a range.
Hmm. Awesome.
So it doesn't have one.
It's infinite.
It is. Do I get any bonuses if other people help me concentrate on this one?
You would normally, as you know, you could.
We can help you to give you a +2.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If we
with the
appropriate rolls.
Well, with the constant addendum that if anybody botches, the whole thing fails.
Okay.
So, Sam, Matthew, and I can help you to get a +2 for each of us.
All right. Well, then I will roll for Arcana.
All right. Everybody roll an Arcana check.
Oh, yeah. I should probably actually look and see what my Arcana
plus your Arcana.
Was.
Plus your Arcana.
I rolled a 34.
I have to roll not one.
Yes.
Because what, do you have to roll 10 or higher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a 19.
All right, there you go.
Okay. So what does this look like, Steven?
Well, we've done it before. So it's a circle drawn on the floor. And we're going to all kind of stand on the edge of the circle, concentrate on each other's thoughts as I mentally kick the spell into high gear. And as we all start thinking about each other and our thoughts, we start to hear each other without speaking.
Okay. Well, you guys all rolled pretty well, so you guys have this for 8 hours.
Okay.
Cool.
Nice.
There's no... Like, the spell is good, solid, and purposeful communication. You don't accidentally think something and the other people hear it. Like, you only communicate with each other what you want to say to each other.
Right.
These people are all idiots.
Like I said, or like the thing said, there's no language to it. So ideas are communicated pretty clearly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, essentially, there's no other way to...
muck that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So... Cool. I'm sure you guys would figure out a way. But. All right, you guys have Oracle online.
All right,
Aurum, I hand you the hat.
Okay, like maybe it should be her.
She's sneaky.
Okay,
I was gonna say it was your casing the place. Probably have you not look like you, or not you. You could actually look like you.
I put on the hat.
Okay. You are wearing a hat. It's like a big wizard hat, isn't it? Normally.
This is basically the description from the book.
I don't know. You described it.
Did I?
Yeah.
Sometimes. Doesn't sound like me.
I believe, I know. That's I forced you.
That's why it was noteworthy. I think you said it was a triangular peaked hat.
It doesn't matter. The hat can look however.
Yeah, the hat,
the hat literally can look however the hat looks. It doesn't matter. Okay. Orym is wearing a hat. We'll say right now Orym is wearing just a pretty unremarkable wide-brimmed hat.
Okay. And I focus and I kind of try to take on some of the aspects of the people that are running the inn. I guess they're human-ish.
Yes. Okay. You can look like a humanoid innkeeper type.
All right. That's kind of what I look like.
Okay.
I don't look like an Eladrin.
Still.
Exactly.
You haven't since we got here.
Okay.
I do. I just am big and beefy.
Right.
You look like Dwayne the Eladrin Johnson.
Yes. Yes. All right, I guess we should go.
All right.
Well, okay, then.
All right. You guys go do some investigating, which sounds like a skill challenge.
Yay. Oh, boy.
Skill challenge.
Across the universe.
This here is a skill challenge. The goal is to acquire as much information about the tower and the organizations and people around it that might cause you some problems while you're trying to infiltrate the tower. While simultaneously not getting caught and sifting through erroneous information and all the other things that could potentially go wrong while you are, you know, trying to infiltrate a bunch of organizations you know nothing about.
Your big beefy body not quite so graceful?
Nope.
Alright, what is Ket's initiative?
12.
A little sparkle?
18.
What?
Sakaar?
7.
Yeah, the great roll 2d20s, roll 2 on both of them.
Wow. Is that 17 for Sakaar?
Yes.
And Randus.
Randus, what? Oh, crap. There's a window. 19.
19? And did you figure it out, Steven?
Yes, it is 23.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's shake it down.
All right.
The hat of disguise gives you a plus 5 bluff bonus.
Does it?
Specifically
to maintaining
disguise.
The disguise.
Ah, okay.
However, it is perfectly reasonable for you to try to hinge a roll on maintaining the disguise to get that bonus, knowing, of course, that if you fail, that's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Proper way.
Okay. Oh, and of course, that's going to be a problem.
So, no, not quite. I was kind of hoping that you guys had kind of arraigned yourselves by scenes. The initiative, but we're actually going to bounce back to Orim and Little Sparkle.
I can let Little Sparkle go ahead of me if you'd prefer.
And then you guys... Yeah, I guess then you guys would be... It's okay. It doesn't matter.
So since Randus is the oddball?
I'm okay with this because Randus and Orim actually share a lot of skills.
Exactly.
Hey. That's the whole point of rolling initiative for these, is watching you guys trip over each other. All right. So, the top of the round, Orim and Little Sparkle arrive at this one. Because of the nature, it's probably going to take a lot of description between rounds. So Orim and Little Sparkle make their way across town and arrive at the plaza that Skytalker Tower is in. This place is really a small fortress. A good maybe 150 yards around the tower itself, or, you know, kind of in diameter outside of the tower. There is a large kind of, or a wall that's maybe about 6 feet tall and, has a few, locations for someone to peer out of. And all of these locations, all of these little guard spots have an actual Trogonaut on them, which are kind of very tall humanoids with, very small or non-existent features, no real nose and ears, small mouth, small eyes, dark skin, kind of between gray and black, generally wearing some pretty hefty leather armor and usually armed to the teeth. Outside of that, there's normal people milling around and also Trogonauts milling around.
Would I be able to use diplomacy to talk to one of the guards about how one becomes a Trogonaut?
Yeah, I'd allow that.
Okay. So I'm going to go up to one of the Trogonauts, preferably one of the ones near one of the gates, and try to use diplomacy to make myself known and say hello and let him know that I'm not causing any problems, but I'd like to ask a couple of questions.
Roll it.
24.
24. We'll do it.
Excellent.
Yay.
Orim does not immediately get skewered, by a spear and begins having a pleasant conversation with said Trogonaut. I'll make a note of that. I'll slide this over here. And that'll take us to Randus.
All right. Randus is going to start hitting the books, cataloging all the various cataloged results of various stars' incursions upon the world and their ascendancies and descendancies, and seeing how they compare and contrast and how some, you know, overlap or cancel each other, or, you know, just trying to figure out what abilities each one has and okay. Arcana it up.
Yep, give me an Arcana check.
All right, that is... Nope, that didn't add. Okay, so 31?
Oh, yeah, 31 will do it.
No, it's not actually a 10. I understand it's Brian, but he can't roll that low with this
Arcana. Yeah, not with Arcana.
The plus 21.
My fingers fumbled a slash in there.
You rolled a negative 11 on a 20-sided die.
Yes.
It does sound like something Brian could do.
Okay, Randus, spend some time hitting the books. I will make a note of that, and we'll talk about it here in a little bit.
Okay.
Next up is Little Sparkle.
So Little Sparkle is analyzing this place as someone who wants to break into it, basically looking for weaknesses in the security. That includes kind of walking over the perimeter a bit, looking for possible blind spots, probably tagging along when Orm has his chat with the guard to pretend to be bored, but also getting a better view of the guards and figuring out are any of them tired or easily distractible or things like that. And the goal would be to make a thievery check.
That sounds like exactly what a thievery check would be. So yes, roll awesome. That.
I have a 36.
That'll do it. I will also say that with that thievery check, you can actually probably get inside the perimeter
and Fantastic. Start
looking inside, at least inside the little fortress area.
Great. She'll just find whatever weakness there is from the thievery check and exploit it immediately.
Okay. Takes us to Team Facial Hair over at Sakaar.
Wait, what were we doing? I thought we were going to go find out about how to become Trogonauts.
Yeah.
We were.
We were?
Yeah.
Shall we still do that?
That was the plan.
Okay. We're gonna do that.
Yeah, I just assumed that or I'm inquiring about that stuff was 100% just a screen. For a little okay. sparkle to get through.
Oh, okay. We're going to do it for real.
Yeah.
But in such a way that I'm going to be judging exactly whether or not this is something that's perfectly normal, if it's kind of a touchy subject, if it's something that the Trogonauts want to be making public, if it's something that they're perfectly happy to talk about or odd, so that Sakaar will be using his massive perception to try and see how actually broaching the topic even goes over.
That is an insight check.
Insight?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's going to hose Ket.
Correct.
Well,
Ket's got other stuff to
do. Yeah, I would say Ket doesn't have a poor trained skill.
Oh, well, look at me. I'm Ket.
My name's Ket. My skills are all well-trained.
Grand piano.
Oh, I've got a bunch of crap skills, just none of my trained ones are poor.
All right. I'm going to do all that stuff. We're going to call it insight.
Do it.
I'm not going to roll for crap this time.
I believe you.
Because you're not rolling athletics.
How do you feel about it? Oh, Brian! Can I get some stab for that Brian burn? I rolled a 27 for insight.
All right, that is a success.
I'm
sorry. Yay.
I'll tell you this right now. The Trogonauts don't hold back on the information on how to become an honorary Trogonaut. Their general attitude is, you, whoever you are, because we just met probably don't have what it takes.
Mm.
Like, that's their general attitude is, it takes something very special for you inferior races to join the clan. And it is to Cat.
I am going to use my streetwise,
mm-hmm.
which I never get to use,
yeah,
to determine a regular Trogonaut, or hopefully more likely a honorary Trogonaut hangout, like a bar or club, somewhere where either the Trogonauts or preferably where the honorary Trogonauts regularly gather.
Okay.
Burn it. Roll down. It.
Only if we get in a fight.
Streetwise. Blue Oyster Bar 60. Over on 7.
Woo! 32.
That's a success. Yeah, you find a place. It is basically there are the Trogonauts have a very specific pecking order, and they kind of have this this kind of district that they've commandeered, where they have green recruits, people like honorary Trogonauts, and then like people to serve them. And it's kind of this thing where like the honorary Trogonauts are getting in on with the Trogonauts. The really green warriors that are actual Trogonauts are kind of being poked at to get out of there because they're as good as these inferior races that are barely in the clan. So you can make your way there.
Well, I don't like any of that.
Which takes us to the top of the round that I move you guys up.
Yeah.
How many? One, two.
Yep.
One, two, three, four, five. Yep.
So the pecking order is kind of the greens at the very bottom, then the honoraries, then the regulars?
It's kind of the honoraries still at the bottom below the greens, but the ones above them are specifically inverting that.
They're basically hazing them.
Yeah.
They're treating
them like equals, they are making fun of them, essentially.
Mm. Yeah.
which takes us back to Aurum. So you've had a good talk with that guy. You know, Lot gained some good information, was condescended to drastically.
I think I would make a great member of your group. Look how strong I am. And I look for a big stone bench there in the plaza, and I lift it up to show my superior strength.
Should just lift him up.
Yep.
Using athletics.
Okay, roll it.
36, nat 20.
Wow.
Wow.
Look how strong he is.
Yeah, so...
And hopefully this is causing a lot of people to look at this guy lifting a big, strong
stone. It is. Basically, this very interesting thing happens where there's essentially... There are trees with kind of built into kind of these cobblestone places with like a little...
Like a wraparound bench.
Yeah, like a little thing around them. Aurum walks over to one that looks like it's been hit. So it's basically this giant chunk of rubble next to this tree. Aurum bends down to pick up the rock. As he starts picking it up, he realizes that the tree is completely tangled on the rubble. And then since he's already committed, just keeps pulling and essentially uproots that tree in front of everybody. Which causes a big commotion. They're like, wow, that innkeeper looking guy just uprooted that tree.
He's really strong.
He is good at this. This takes us to Randus. Did I move him up? I don't think so.
Nope.
Okay. So could I use history for the research of history?
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, yeah, I'm going to research, you know, try to find less chronicled events or people that, like, you know, the common historians may not have known, lacking the knowledge of the Sky Talkers to see, you know, events and basically to correlate even further information on these, trying to pinpoint their cycles and
with the current date and try to see if I can't narrow down what cosmic events would be happening shortly.
Okay.
25.
25 will do it.
All right.
And we'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Okay.
Anybody else really nervous about how well we're doing?
Nah. Our target's pretty low.
And that takes us to Little Sparkle.
Little Sparkle is going to capitalize on Orym's expert diversion and just try to use that everyone's pretty distracted to stealth around and get even deeper into this complex to make observations.
Okay.
That'll just be a stealth check.
Yep.
Hmm.
27. So thanks for jinxing us. I'm guessing that does not make it.
Should.
I was saying 24 made it.
Yeah.
Oh, 25 made it. Never mind. So sorry. I'm used to higher thresholds. Yes. So yeah. All right. Cool.
Thank God for a massive bonus.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Huge.
Yeah.
All right, Matthew, as long as you don't use athletics, you've got this.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nope, that's it. You guys succeeded.
Oh, okay.
Hooray!
All right.
I'm going to use athletics.
Okay. All right. So, late that day, everybody will reconvene, and I'll tell you guys what you found out.
Tell you guys things about stuff
you did not know.
So, Orym has. So this is basically what Orym has going on. He has a really good into potentially becoming an honorary Trogonaut, but doing that takes a lot of time. Like, you have to prove yourself over and over again, and the other stuff. But you could probably do it because there's like different ways of approaching it. So you could be like a smarty one or a strongy one or a get hit a lot one.
Okay.
It just depends. Randus has a pretty well cataloged index of the stars, and although he doesn't really necessarily know what all the interactions are going to do, he also has a good historical thing of what the interactions have sometimes in the past done.
Okay.
Little Sparkle has a really good lay of the land for getting in, but after you reach the tower, two things happen. One, there are no more, like, the Trogonauts actually do not go inside the tower, and there are magical defenses inside.
Got it. Can I tell what sort of magical defenses there are?
There are definitely magical locks and other kind of more zappy type things.
Exciting.
Yeah. Now, magical lock, you might be able to pick, but it might also be a thing where maybe one of the more wizardy types has to dispel it, essentially.
Yep. Sure.
Also, Randus gets a lot of the history of the tower, which is not terribly helpful, because this tower has been here longer than anybody can remember.
Okay.
So, it's mostly like the tower has always been here, and then multiple cities have kind of grown around it, with a combination of, you know, the Skytalkers, again, always having been here, and also the fact that this is actually a very fertile area. So there's always someone who wants in on this city. You did get some idea of like Sky Talker recruitment practices. But those are probably even more complicated and long than the Trogonauts. So joining that organization, first off, they do kind of the thing where like they come to someone that they've foreseen, divined in some way. Yeah. As far as Ket and Sakaar, they don't get a lot of information on becoming an honorary Trogonaut, but they do get that it's probably going to take a lot of time. What they do get is a chance to talk to a lot of the honorary guys, some of the green cadets and the people serving them, and basically get a few kind of rumors about the Sky Talkers. One of them is that they don't, they're all actually blind, but it doesn't bother them. And the other one is that the upper reaches of the tower are protected by ancient and powerful defenses. And one of the stories that you heard is about these kind of strange kind of reptilian type monsters that hail from a very cold world and may have some kind of elemental cold thing going on. Among other ridiculous things.
Go team say Ket.
Ket.
Could we have found out anything about the spirit talkers themselves?
No, these guys don't know anything about that.
Okay. Could they have possibly seen one?
No.
Or did they not actually leave the tower at all?
They didn't even enter the tower.
Not them, like the
oh, spirit. Oh, no, the Sky Talkers did not.
Sky Talkers, yeah, sorry.
No. No, they have not seen one.
Okay.
So you guys meet up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're going to become the Trogonaut, it's going to take way too much time.
Yeah.
So I think we may need to find some other way in.
Well, I can basically get us to the door, but the problem is the door is covered in magical wards.
Is there any indication what sort of magic?
Well, some probably just keep you from opening the door, and some probably blow you up. Maybe some of them, you know, make loud noises to alert people you're trying to open the door. No matter what, I'd probably want, you know, Orym or Randis or Ket to make that not the case.
Mm-hmm. Understandable.
Randis, any ideas on figuring out this without the Sky Talkers?
Do I think I got enough or no?
No.
But we'll, regardless, we'll have to be in the tower to absorb the energy, correct? Or at least be in one of the areas that
I think we'll have affected. To be in one of the affected areas, if not actually use that to use a portal to actually travel to the star plane itself. So did you get a good look at these runes? Did you have any idea what they look like?
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw them, but I'm not really great when it comes to magic. I can describe them to you.
We're telepathic, aren't we?
Huh?
We're still telepathic, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's a good point.
Can't you think enough of it at me to get...
I'll picture them in my mind.
Yeah. Yep. That's cool. That's definitely either a... an explosive acid rune or an explosive fire rune. She probably didn't think the dots around the edges were important, but they are. Kat, what are you doing here?
He likes your toes.
He does.
Explosive acid and explosive fire have about the same effect on me.
They do.
But they probably have like an entirely different mechanism for disarming them, so we're screwed either way.
And what I've gathered, what I have cause to believe that the story of cold-type beasts seem to be any sort of valid concern.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
There is some stuff that you've read that corroborates it.
Those guys are guarding the tower?
They're inside somewhere.
Well, I think we're all going to have to go in the tower if any of us are going in the tower because of the whole magic wards and potential magic beasts.
Are we certain that we have to be in the tower in order to gather the energies we need?
I'm pretty certain we know we're not going to be in the tower to gather the energies that we need. We need to get into the tower to figure out where to go to gather said energies. Or find some way to kidnap one of the Sky Talkers.
Or
don't seem to leave the place.
What if we were to find someone in power here who would be getting that information and ask them?
Did you see anybody entering or leaving the tower at all?
I didn't.
Huh.
So, for all I know, the Sky Talkers telepathically communicate or send magical messages to whoever it is that they report to.
All right. So if we could figure out that, then that would probably be our best course of action.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's got to be a leader.
I mean, we could spend more time trying to figure out their government structure and who among the Trogonauts actually gets these messages and what they do with them.
Did we pick up any information on who is in charge other than the Trogonauts?
Yeah. Their leader is called Besbierto.
Where does he live?
Mm-hmm. He lives in the center of the city. Kind of, there's like a governance palace.
Does he take...
Well,
I don't want to say
sorry,
yes, does,
the word.
Does he go on strolls by himself with no one else around by any chance?
He might.
Does he have any clearly defined weaknesses such as a heel or perhaps the back of his neck?
Yeah, he has a big red dot on top of his head.
That close.
That opens up and closes at regular intervals. But also... He's always shooting fire, so you have to like time it really well.
All right. Well, it might be worth trying to figure what this guy's deal is and if we can get some kind of audience with him.
That was the word that I was trying to find.
Audience?
Yeah.
Or some kind of...
Now we're in trouble.
Sit down and brew some potions of ice resistance. Resist frost.
How about tomorrow we split up again and try to figure out all that we can about the Trogonaut leaders and then also what usually happens with the information that comes out of the tower? Is there some kind of public announcement that says, hey, don't go to this area of town because swords are going to rain down? Because if so... Maybe we can just wait till the next one of those.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. So we're going to try and see what we can do about talking with the leader and figure out the local forecast.
Sounds like a plan.
All right.
So we go to sleep.
Okay. The night goes by uneventfully.
Yay.
Knowing that there may be some kind of ice elemental creature, I'm going to prepare summer.
Okay.
Let's not try to freeze the frozen things.
Right.
Did we say last time that my crystalline breastplate, would that stack with my natural resistances at all or no?
I don't remember.
I say it would specifically have to say it adds on.
Okay, so then probably
those resistances just kind of.
Then that will just invoke the thunder lightning down.
Yeah, the crystalline breastplate doesn't add to anything.
Okay.
So it would supersede it or not, depending on the size of it.
I will happily take any energy resist you give me.
So 1 hour per potion. Five of us.
You more than likely wouldn't need one for me.
Eh.
Depending on the resistance levels involved.
That's true. Probably wouldn't need one for me either, for that matter. Unless I want to give myself a lightning one for my...
How resistant would the potion make you?
10.
No, you won't need one for me then.
Yeah, I wouldn't need one either. Why do I have resist 10 cold?
Because your heart is cold enough.
Yeah, actually, because you took that feat.
Soul. My soul is cold enough. The feat is frozen soul.
Yeah.
Ah.
Should have
that
looked at.
Generally, just a little sparkle and a worm.
I've got some resistance. Let me double check and make sure that it's.
We've all got resistance.
Well, you are a level 16 characters.
That's true.
Eventually, you start picking these up.
I somehow managed to avoid having any of it.
And mine wouldn't stack, right?
No.
Okay,
no.
Then no, it doesn't do me any good. Just what I've prepared. Fire shield would resist 10 cold and resist 10 fire until the end of the encounter.
Ah, okay. It's not a bad thing.
Well, now you only have to spend 1 hour making a potion.
Might as well go with 2 hours just to get a... How long do they last?
Till you use them? Or you mean like the duration of the potion?
Yeah, duration of the actual effect of
God,
the potion.
No, not, what is the expiration date on the friggin' potion?
Thursday. You have to use it by Thursday.
Look, we've never actually used potions. We just make them and forget about them.
So. It happens.
Which is what I assume is the expiration date. I was actually going to say that. If you want the expiration date, it's
until you
when you guys
it.
Forget about them.
Cat had some potions that he didn't forget about until the goblins ate them.
Uh-huh.
Actually ate them.
Yep.
Potion of resistance.
Stupid goblins.
Let's see. Until the end of the encounter.
All right.
So maybe a couple.
So yeah, make two.
All right. That will brew two. Minus 16k or 100. That's slightly different.
Give one to Little Sparkle and keep one somewhere.
Kindly.
Where's my
and it will give me 10 resist for the encounter?
Yep. If I do that, we'll just auto-calculate. Nope, no. Sandwich is a PP to GP?
100.
Okay.
Wow, I did not understand that question at all.
Platinum pieces to gold pieces.
Can you use any of the magic fruit from the dream quills for this?
Yeah.
It's probably exclusively what he's using for this.
Yeah. I'm just actually just using the currency I had here.
Well, the currency you have is just currency, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's true. But
you can also just buy enough.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
I'm willing to calculate that into the time that you guys spend out and about.
Actually. I'd actually have to borrow 200 from Orin's amount.
Fine.
And then I should be good. All right.
Okay.
One potion of cold resistance for a little sparkle, and I'll hold on to an auxiliary one.
Fantastic.
Did you say you had resistance yourself?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be wiser for her to hold on to the auxiliary one?
If she wants.
Sure.
It seems like if she's the one who needs them.
Works for me.
Theoretically.
All right. I will hold on to 2 potions of frost resistance.
Does Sakaar have natural resistance, or is it from one of his powers?
Well, you'd have to get into his armpits, wouldn't you?
There. Gross.
Sakaar has resistance. So have we considered just making a frontal assault on the tower and running?
Oh, I've considered it. It does sound like a sweet dungeon crawl.
From both ends. Got all the Trogonauts coming in behind us, trying to stop us. Yeah.
But I think spending another day of information gathering is probably in order before we decide to take the sweet dungeon crawl
before route. We have fun storming the castle.
Yep.
Ha. Okay. So what all information are we hoping to gather?
How the tower sends out their information on incursions, how it's used, if it's broadcast, if we can get an audience with the, what Despierta's like, you know, so how he might react to us being like, please, we just need to find out where your next magical portal is.
See if there's any, reports or warnings posted to tell people to stay out of certain areas.
Yep.
Sounds like a plan, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's enact it next episode.
On Critical Hit.
Exactly. Thank you so much for downloading, listening. Thank you for all the positive comments that you send our way. We love it when you post comments over at the Major Spoilers website as well as on iTunes. There is a link to the podcast posting page for this episode that you just click on. If you're on a mobile device, you should just be able to click on it, and it'll take you right to the page where you can post your comments. So until next time, for Sam and Matthew and Brian and Rob and Rodrigo and myself, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.